Good morning.
With the Lord's help, I'd like to look at just two passages. The first one is in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, and we'll read verses 21 through 28. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. We'll stop there for a second. We have this passage is a really, really beautiful example of faith, a beautiful example of the persistence of prayer, of asking and asking and asking. And it's really a sweet passage. As you become a parent, you see, you kind of see these stories through different eyes. As soon as you have a kid, you realize, your perception switches to the, you see it through a different perspective. Even now, I can watch a movie where when I was younger, I saw it through the eyes of the son in the movie or the child in the movie. And now I see it through the eyes of the parent that's in the movie. And it's so interesting how your perspective changes as you get older. And it's interesting to look from the perspective of a parent, the desperation, and she wouldn't take no for an answer, right? And the Lord never explicitly said no. Obviously, the Lord is trying to challenge and to bring something out of her in order for her to work through this and her persistence and to display her faith. This passage has been on my mind a lot the last several months. I saw a video of this pastor, so-called, who was talking about this passage, and he said something that really upset me. He accused the Lord of saying, of using a racial slur in this passage. He accused the Lord of being racist, essentially. And he said that the woman had to correct him, right? She had to speak truth to power. And the Lord had to re-examine his prejudices and just nonsense, lies. He's a false teacher, right? You have to be very, very careful. The things on the internet, especially, sometimes it seems like it might be Christian. It seems like it might be good, but it's lies, right? He was saying lies about the Lord Jesus, and he has a lot of followers. He's got a lot of people who've watched that video. He's got a lot. And thankfully, there's also a lot of people who've responded to that video and who've, refuted what he said. He didn't call her a dog. There's two words in Scripture. Most of the other times you read the word dog, especially in the epistles, in other portions of the New Testament, it's talking about beasts. It's a negative word. The Apostle Paul says, "Beware of the beasts." Right? He said, "I've fought beasts at Ephesus. I've dealt with people who are bad, who are they're wicked." This is he's saying little dogs, right? These are house pets. It's a word for a member of a member of the household. It's a little dog that's in your house. It's not a beast. It's not this negative word. I don't know the Greek. I can't go into that, but others have. So he's not saying anything racial, right? And you know what the woman says? She says yes, right? She agrees with his statement, right? That it's not right to take something that's meant for your children and give it to the dogs. And the Lord is making the point that he was sent to the house of Israel first, right? Even we have that in Scripture. Salvation is to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek, right? We came in second. We were secondarily let in. Thank God for that. Thank God that it's also to the Greek, right? Not only to the Jew, right? Salvation has come. And the beautiful thing is, right, like the disciples at one point, they're like, Lord, like, make her go away. She's just crying after us. Like, do something. She's making a scene. Like, Lord, what? You're just, first he didn't answer, right? She didn't take silence. She kept asking, right? She's crying after him. And most of the reason, right, like she's addressing him as like the son of David, and she's not from Israel. And that's sort of part of it, right? That's part of why he's answering. He's like, I wasn't sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that was his first kind of answer. And then she doesn't call him son of David anymore. She says she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. And it's interesting. It's almost making that plea for help as an act of worship, which is interesting. But here, then he says, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. But she comes and she says, yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Like, just want a crumb, just a little crumb. It's nothing. It's just a tiny, tiny piece. And that's the Lord's just amazed by her faith, right? And he says, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. The way in which she comes to the Lord. If you have a dog at home, they're one of the best creatures at begging, right? They know how to beg, right? And she's acting like that little dog under the table. They give you those eyes, right? They look at you, and they just sit there and they're looking at you. They're just anticipating something from you, even a little crumb. They're so excited. And they stare at you as you're eating your food. They're staring at you, staring at you, staring at you. Nothing will take their focus away. And she's acting like that dog, just that anticipation. She won't give up. She's there. She's expecting. She's asking. She's asking. She's asking. She's asking. She's asking. She's begging for her daughter. And the Lord's amazed by that faith, right? The persistence. Like, she is unashamed. She will make a scene. She's begging. And the Lord is... The Lord answers her prayer. And just an encouragement for us to not give up asking. Sometimes it seems like the Lord doesn't answer us, right? Sometimes it seems like God, our prayers aren't answered. It seems like God isn't saying anything. Why aren't you answering? And then sometimes it seems like the answer seems strange, right? It seems like it's, you know, not the answer we're expecting or hoping for. Keep asking. Keep praying. And sometimes the Lord is also working on us, right? The Lord not only wants to answer our prayer, not only wants to help us, but he's also trying to work in us and to bring something out of us. He wants us to be persistent. And just an encouragement for this passage, right? For there are false teachers out there, right? And they're even more prevalent and easy to access than before, right? It's on social media. There's so-called Christians. There's so-called pastors, so-called teachers who are spreading lies about Jesus. So you have to be very careful, and you need to know the true Lord. Paul talks about this in several gospels. He talks about, if anyone preaches to you another gospel or a different Jesus than we've preached, let him be cursed. And he says it again. If someone teaches a different gospel or a different Jesus, let him be cursed. Right? He says it twice for emphasis. That's how important this is. He talks about to the Galatians. He says, I'm amazed how quickly you've turned away to a different gospel than what we preach to you. Paul says, even if an angel were to tell you of a different Jesus, don't believe it. So he's so emphatic about knowing the true Jesus and the true gospel. Right? And so we have to be so careful. We need to know the word of God, and to know, especially the younger ones, you need to know the truth of who Jesus is. Sometimes these false teachers sound really good. It sounds like they're saying really nice things. Sounds like they're saying stuff that's true, but they're preaching lies. And it's so important to know what's true. All right. And how do we know what's true? We got to read the Word of God. We have to examine the Word of God. Anything that you hear someone preach, It's important to verify what they say is true. Even for me, right? The things I'm saying right now, we should be like the Christians in Berea, right? They heard the word with joy. They took it in. Then they went and they searched the scriptures to see if it was true, to see if these things were so. So we need to be like that. We need to be examining whether it's me or Brother Bill or Brother Steve or Jesse or anyone who comes up here and opens the word. We should be verifying what they're saying, right? Making sure it's true. Because there's a lot of things, even if it's a tiny little mistake, you know, maybe it's not anything as egregious as saying the Lord sinned by being, you know, by saying something racist. Like, that's just flat out evil. But maybe there's a tiny little mistake, and maybe that can be an opportunity to help correct, because we all need to be, you know, sometimes maybe something just comes out wrong, or, you know, a statement that maybe wasn't super clear, and we can help one another. But to be on guard, right? And for my job, right? In school, when they're training you to learn, you know, to learn how to diagnose something, to learn how to find out something's wrong when you're doing an exam, they encourage you, learn what normal is. Learn what the real thing is. Learn what the correct thing is. And that way, because you know what's right, when you come across something that's wrong, you'll know that, hey, there's something wrong here. This abdomen doesn't feel normal. Feels like maybe there's a mass in here. This heart doesn't sound normal. These lungs don't sound normal. There's something wrong. And so you can instantly know there's something wrong here. We need to do some tests, or we need to run some blood work, or we need to do whatever. So you're already ahead, right? Because I remember in school, I would put the stethoscope on. I had no idea what I was listening to. And it took probably hundreds, a thousand times to listen to a heart to know, okay, there's a heart murmur here. And then even early on, it was easier to hear the really bad ones before I could pick up the subtle things. And here there's like different grades of heart murmur, right? So you could have a grade one, which like only cardiologists hear grade ones. Like that's, yeah, I'm not going to hear a grade one. But like grade two or a grade three or grade four, grade six is the worst. Like, you don't even have to put your stethoscope on the dog. It's like so easy. You can hear the grade six. But like as I went through, it would get easier and easier to hear those subtle ones. And so it's the same thing with reading the scripture, right? Learn what normal is. Learn what the truth is. And then if you hear something like that, you know, you're like, that's not my Lord. That's not the Jesus I know. Something's wrong with what he's saying. And maybe you can't pick it out right away, but you know there's something wrong. There's something wrong there. And then you go back and you search and you say, okay, that's incorrect. He's misquoting that scripture. He's abusing what that says. That's not what the Bible says. And so just encourage, like, learn who the Lord is. And we learn through the Word of God. You have to get to know the Lord. And then I'd also like to look in Luke 11, another passage about asking. We'll look at Luke chapter 11, and we'll start with verse 5, and we'll read down to verse 13. And he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So here we again have this idea of persistence, right? This friend comes at midnight. And, you know, something came up. There's something that's going on. I need 3 loaves of bread. Just please. I need 3 loaves of bread. And it's midnight. I'm glad we had a what was it? I don't know when it was. We had a thunderstorm. It, like, not a tree branch fell down on our, like, the wire that comes to our house. Caused a lot of problems. Shorted out all the doorbells, so none of our doorbells work. So if someone came at midnight, we're not answering the door. So doorbells don't work. So I'm glad this won't happen to me. But can I, just imagine someone's ringing your doorbell at midnight. You're in bed. You're like, what is, who, like, what is happening? And you answer the door, and it's some, a friend. It's like, I need 3 loaves of bread. You're not getting up and giving it to him because he's your friend. You're getting up and giving it to him because of his shameless boldness to come at midnight and ask you for something. You're just like, okay, just please leave. Go. Here, take it and go, please. So the Lord's saying the same thing. Like, be persistent. Like, don't be ashamed to ask. Just doesn't, the Lord wants you to ask and to be bold. And the word in New King James, it says persistence. Other translations say shamelessness. Other translations say shameless boldness, or like the audacious, like boldness. Like, it's this idea, like, there's no sense of shame, right? Like the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, the disciples are like, Lord, let's do something. She's making a scene. Send her away. Like, she's crying after us. That's what he wants, right? There's no shame. We have boldness to approach the throne of grace, right? To understand, like, we have this ability to come and ask God and make requests to him. And there's no reason to be ashamed. There's no reason to be hesitant in asking. Like, we can ask him for anything. We can bring any subject before him. We can bring anything that we're asking for and bring it to him. And not just once, right? Continue to do it. You can be persistent in prayer. Like, keep praying. And that's the God we have, right? He doesn't get tired of hearing our prayers. Because we can have that, like, boldness and shameless audacity to come to God in prayer at any hour of the day, any situation, we can bring it to him. And in my Bible, they have the little titles. Verse 9 through 13, it says, keep asking, seeking, and knocking. And that's really the point, right? Keep asking. And then, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And yesterday at the dinner table, I said something to Simon. I don't remember what. I said, is it because I asked you or because you don't want to? And then he said, I love mommy. It was like completely a different topic. And I understood where he was coming, but it's like, I was like, buddy, that's not the answer. and it's just completely out of the blue. And so I was talking to him about this. I was like, when you say something and someone answers, you have to actually listen to what they're saying and then, you know, answer appropriately. And I brought up this section about, you know, if someone asks for bread, am I going to give you a rock? And he started laughing and he understood, like, those things don't make sense, right? So if you ask for a fish and someone gives you a snake, he was laughing, and he's three, right? So a three-year-old understands this, that, like, to ask and you get something completely, like, that doesn't make any sense, like, what kind of father would that be? And so there's this, like, this strange dichotomy, and then he says to them, like, if you, being evil, right, as human beings, like, we established there's no one good but God. God is the only one who's good. So if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, right? I know that if my son asks for bread, I'm not going to go out and get a rock and give that to him. I'm going to give him bread. Like, I'm going to take care of what he needs. And so how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more? Our Father in heaven knows what we need, right? He knows what the appropriate response is. And he knows what we have need of, the scripture says, even before we ask, right? He knows what we need. And so we can trust that he will respond the appropriate way to our needs. And that's wonderful, right? Like, we know that we can ask. And maybe, you know, maybe we don't always ask the right way, right? Scripture says we don't even know what we should ask for. But we have the Spirit of God and makes intercession for us. But we can come with boldness. We can come shamelessly to God. We can ask for what we need, and we can trust that God will give us what we need. It says, the Bible says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." That's not an if. That's not a maybe. That's a "my God will." That's an affirmative statement. Sometimes we might think we need something different than what God knows that we need, right? So sometimes we need to be adjusted in our thoughts. And sometimes the answer is no. That's not right for you right now. Sometimes the answer is wait. Sometimes the answer is yes. But we can bring all of those, right? The Lord's not upset about the question, about what we ask for. He's just trying to help us with the answer. And the perfect example, right, the Lord Jesus. Just think of him in the garden. He knows what's ahead of him. And he prays not once, not twice, but three times. It's the middle of the night. He's coming. And he's knocking on the door for the Father. And he's like, "If there's any other way, please let this pass from me. If there's any other way, please." But then the Lord is the model, right? It's, "But not what I want, but what you want be done. You let your will be done." That's the challenge, right, when we ask. Because sometimes you tack that on at the end, "But Lord, let your will be done." But it's like, do I really want his will to be done? So the Lord has to help us. And sometimes it's hard, right? When there's trials, when there's something we've been praying for months, for years, over and over and over and over, it can be hard to keep praying and waiting on the Lord for an answer. But keep asking, pray. And the Lord doesn't get tired of your prayers. And we have also the Apostle Paul, right? He had that thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times before he got an answer. He prayed multiple times. And you know what the Lord's answer was? The Lord said no to him. Like, "My grace is enough for you." So even if the answer is no, even if we don't get a request, we get the grace of God. That's enough for us. Scripture says when we pray, we can have the peace of God that passes understanding. So even if the answer is no, he's not giving us nothing. Even if the answer is no, he's still going to give us the grace that we need to get through this trial. And he's going to give us peace that we can't even comprehend. That doesn't make sense. Peace that doesn't make sense to have in that situation. That's what God promises us. So that's what we have. And that's the amazing thing, right? We can come before God. We can pray shamelessly any hour of the day, right? God's not going to be on vacation. He's not going to be sleeping when we come and we ask him for things. We can come at any moment. We can come to ask for anything. Right? However small, however big, we can come before God and ask. And he wants us to keep asking. So that's the challenge, right? And no matter what his answer is, he is going to give us the grace we need through the trial. And sometimes he wants us to keep praying to work on our faith, to work on us. Sometimes if you just give and give and give, no matter what, it's like sometimes you need to learn through this trial and that's the Lord, right? We know that he knows what's best. We know that he's in control. We know that he has awareness of what we need. And so we can trust in him. Maybe we can close in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your son, that it's through him we have this relationship with you. And we're thankful for what he's told us about you and what he's encouraged us to do when we pray. And we're just thankful that he lived that out as an example for us. We're thankful that we can come to you in prayer for so many things, that we can continue to pray and labor in prayer. And we're thankful that we can trust you to meet our needs, not just spiritually, but physically. And our God and our Father, we're just thankful that we know that you will provide what's needed. We pray for the many requests that have been made known, the many requests that continue to be made known. We even pray for those maybe that have not been made public. Our God and our Father, we just trust you for what's ahead. We ask that you would watch over us and help us through this week. We just give you thanks for who you are and for all that you've done for us, our God and our Father. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.